Would you like to accelerate your career and reach your full potential in just minutes a day? Welcome to the LeadX Show with New York Times bestselling author and Inc. 500 entrepreneur, Kevin Cruz.
What's the right way to support new hires in their first 6 months? How can you challenge them for a few years after that? And how do you engage employees who've already peaked out and achieved mastery? Hello, everyone. I'm Kevin Cruz. Welcome to the LeadX Show, where we are helping you to stand out and to get ahead. Before we begin today's program, I've got a question for you. Have you already left a rating for the LeadX Show on iTunes or Stitcher or whatever app, wherever it is that you listen? It's the single best thing you can do for me. It's a personal favor. And remember, if you leave a review, just send us an email, info@leadx.org, and say, yo, I left a review under this name. And we're going to invite you into our private VIP ambassador program. It's a private group on Facebook where we give away books, programs. I'm doing a name my book contest where I fly the winner into Philadelphia for our book launch, blah, blah, blah. It's lots of fun. You got to do it. Only takes a minute. Leave a rating or review on iTunes or your favorite place. Our quote of the day: happiness lies not in the mere possession of money. It lies in the joy of achievement, in the thrill of creative effort. Franklin Roosevelt. Our guest today has been named one of the 50 leading business thinkers in the world. That's part of the Thinkers 50 program. She's an expert on disruptive innovation and personal disruption. She's a former award-winning stock analyst on Wall Street. She's one of Marshall Goldsmith's top 100 coaches. She's a coach for the Harvard Business School's Executive Education Program, and her new book is Build an A-Team, Play to Their Strengths, and Lead Them Up the Learning Curve. This is critical, the learning curve. Our guest is Whitney Johnson. Whitney, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be here.
Well, we're delighted to have you, and we're going to talk about your new book in just a minute, but I have a tradition where I ask all of our guests the same first question because I believe failures are stepping stones. There's no win or lose. There's only win or learn. And I'm selfish. I want to learn from one of your failures. So share with us one of your best failures and what you took away from it.
Oh, there are so many. Let me give you one, obviously. Otherwise, we'll be here all day. But this is a speech that I bombed about 3 years ago. I was delivering it to a financial services private equity firm. I've got an investment background. So I was like, I got this. You know, I've got this. So the speech is over. They don't like it. They hate it. I have all the comment cards to prove it. Now, there were some technical issues that threw me off. But the fact is they came back and they said, you're mechanical. You seem like you're kind of this wind-up toy. And no one, absolutely no one, in the entire audience thought this was the best speech of the conference. So the reason it's one of my best failures is that it was so bad and it stung so much because this was my peer group that instead of my saying, okay, well, you know, bad day or I just need to tweak this, I was like, okay, clearly there is something wrong here and I have got to do something differently. Now, what's interesting is over the next couple of months, I spent a lot of time revamping the speech, but the content itself didn't actually change that much. What changed was my delivery and my approach to the content. So two major things that I did differently. One, and I didn't realize I was doing this, but now I understand what I was doing, is I recently had Donald Miller, StoryBrand, on my podcast. He said, whenever you give a speech, you need to be the guide and not the hero. And I realized that at the time when I was delivering that speech, because people had said to me, your personal story is so compelling, you should tell it. Well, in this particular instance, it was a total bomb. And so I had to switch from being the hero to the guide. And so in reframing that, it made a huge difference. The other thing that I did is one of my mentors, Marshall Goldsmith, said to me, when you speak, just have fun. Like, have fun. Like if there are mistakes, if the technical issues are there, don't worry about it. Just have fun. And so with those, you know, the revamping of the speech and then having fun and becoming the guide and not the hero, up until that time, my ratings on the speeches had typically been sort of middle pack, middle of the pack. Then I had that bomb, but because of that bomb and changing everything, now I'm consistently one of the best rated speakers whenever I speak. And I love this quote from Napoleon Hill, like, in every failure, there's a seed of success. And so for me, in that failure, it was a seed of success. And so that's one of my best failures ever.
Well, that's a great one on a lot of levels. And it really does sort of prove the point that it took that ultimate failure, and it's hard to get that feedback in the moment, it hurts, to then break through to high ground. If you'd never gotten that stinging feedback, you could have just been good, right? Good, 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 without the failure that now got you to great. And man, you've got some good coaches on your side with the advice there, you know, taking you from good to great.
Indeed, I do. I'm very fortunate.
So Whitney, your new book again is Build an A-Team, Play to Their Strengths, and Lead Them Up the Learning Curve. So what is the learning curve like?
Such a great question. So since this is video, I am going to show you a picture because I think that will make it. Can you see this picture?
I can see this picture, yes. And for people who might be doing audio only, describe what we're looking at. This is a great picture.
Okay. All right. So I want you to imagine an x-axis that's time, and then a y-axis that's improvement or capability or competence. And then I want you to picture an S. So at the bottom of the S, I want you to think in your mind, low end inexperience. Then in the middle, that sleek, steep back of the curve, I want you to think engagement. And then at the high end of the S, again, the flat portion at the top, I want you to think mastery. Now, here's what I want you to know about the learning curve. In fact, I'm going to put it this much closer. At the bottom, notice how over time you're going to work really, really hard and not much is happening. And it's going to be, because you know this, you can be like, not much is happening, but you also know, because this is how the S curve is supposed to be, you're not going to get discouraged. And whenever you start a new role or a new job, it's going to take about 6 months where you're coming home from work every day like, I don't know what I'm doing. Okay, now that's the bottom of the curve. Now we're going to move into the sleek part of that curve, that back of that S. And this is where, after you put in days and weeks and months of practice, you accelerate into competence. With this comes confidence. And this is the exciting part of the curve where all your neurons are firing. And every time you do X, two or three Y happens. Super fun, best part of the curve. It's where you're engaged. And in a role or a job, you're going to be here 2 to 3 years. Now, as you approach mastery, again, think the top of that S, you start to get bored. So again, it looks like nothing's happening. So like you're working, nothing's happening, you're working, nothing's happening because you're bored. You can be here for 6 months to a year before it's time to disrupt yourself and jump to a new learning curve. So that's the S curve of learning that you want to move up yourself and also allow everybody on your team to move up in order to build an A team.
Love the visual, love that description. And for our listeners, I just want to again highlight that for me, as I learned about your concepts and read your book, you know, visually it starts off, that S curve is very flat. You know, there's not a lot of growth, that inexperience. It gets really steep, and that is engagement. And I talk a lot about in my own work, my own research, that growth is a primary driver of employee engagement. You know, we need to be challenged. We need to be learning. We need to be advancing. But then people need to realize that that S curve, it doesn't just stay going higher and higher at that same rate. It flattens out again as we achieve mastery. And that's something that I've struggled with in the past, Whitney. People have asked me advice like, how do I engage my senior people? They've already gone through all our learning and development programs. They already, you know, did all that stuff. And I didn't quite understand what was going on. Like, well, why are they slowing down? But that's a natural part where we'll get to. You have to kind of, you know, jump curves. So I think visually understanding what's going on for ourselves and for the people we're leading is really critical. So, you know, what are some of the ways that we can accelerate someone's growth up the curve?
Okay, great question. And so what we'll do is we'll break it into pieces. So let's start with someone who's at the low end of the curve and how do you accelerate their growth? I think the first thing to do is just to be aware that when they're at the low end of the curve, they're inexperienced. They don't know what they're doing, which means they're getting discouraged probably on a daily basis. And you're probably getting a little bit impatient. So that's a bad cocktail, their discouragement and your impatience. And so if you can be aware of this, then you can be patient. And that is huge, absolutely huge to someone who's at the low end of the learning curve. The second thing you can do is share with them the why of your organization. I interviewed a company called Globalization Partners for the book. They are one of the Inc. 5000 fastest growing companies. And the very first week on the job, they bring all of the new people into what they call GP, or Globalization Partners University. And the CEO sits down with them and explains to them her vision for the organization. It's a triple bottom line: happy employees mean happy customers equal happy company. And then all of the employees hear from all of the directors of the company. And so this gives them a very clear sense of vision, and also from day one creates this cross-silo collaboration that is so important to you and your company and its ability to move up a learning curve. The third piece of advice I would give for people at the low end of the curve is to have a plan for the first six months on the job. And even I would argue the first month on the job. Set really short-term goals. When you give them precise deadlines, maximum budgets, you give them constraints, you give them something to bump up against, and that gives them feedback and they can figure out how they're doing. Also, give them the task of building out their internal network. For example, and over the next month, I want you to reach out to these 12 people. These are your key stakeholders. There are going to be people that you need to learn from. There are going to be people that you need to give something to. But in order for you to get anything done in this organization, you've got to build out your internal network. So that's the low end of the curve. Now, very quickly, what do you do in the sweet spot of the curve? So now they're in the sweet spot. They're in that sleek, steep back of the curve. They're competent. They're excited about what they're doing. They're no longer experiencing the friction. So they move into that curve. They may not be getting as much feedback. And in fact, every time they do something, two or three whys happening. So in order to accelerate their growth up the curve, you need to give them stretch assignments. You need to give them friction. Let me give you a quick example of this. So Ilana Golan, she's a former fighter pilot in the Israeli army. She's an engineer and she starts at Intel in Israel. So on the one hand, she's an intern. On the other hand, she's a former fighter pilot. Well, her boss, Ziad Hanna, what does he do? He gives her a stretch assignment. He says, okay, I want you to come up with a big engineering problem that we need to solve. Turns out they look at the verification tools, which are basically tools that just test the quality of software. And they say, you know what? These aren't keeping up with the advances in technology. I need you to figure out how to solve this. So he gives her the latitude to figure out how to solve it. She does some work with some help from him, discovers this company in Sweden. They have this railway software. It looks like it might work. So she analyzes, she tests it. They build a prototype. Fast forward, they end up buying the software, and it's software that Intel used for decades.
Wow.
That's an amazing stretch assignment. So you, in the sweet spot of the curve, you give people Goldilocks assignments. Not too hard, not too easy.
I like that phrase, Goldilocks assignments. You know, that's a great way to remember like how much of a stretch it should be.
Exactly. And just one last point on this that I think is just so fantastic is that Talisa Yancey, the CMO of American Family Insurance, she said this about her CEO, Jack Salzwedel. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. She says he's not afraid to dole out these stretch assignments and send people back to the drawing board. And here is, to me, the absolute tribute to a boss. And this is what you want your people to say about you when you're thinking about how do I lead them up the learning curve. She says he challenges me to be more, to give more, to serve more, to do more, and to dream more.
Love that, to dream more. So we talk about those initial new hire or new to the role time period, and then the Goldilocks assignments, you know, as you're going up the curve. And then, you know, back to where the curve flattens out again with more senior talent, where I think I have failed a lot in the past is not really understanding how to keep them engaged. Like, what do we do with the people who have achieved mastery? So what's your advice there?
Well, it comes in two phases. So at the top of the curve, and I think you just alluded to this, there are masters. I'll just leave them alone.
Right.
But the fact is that this is the danger zone because they can get bored, and bored people leave, or they get complacent, and complacent people don't innovate. They get disrupted. So I think what you and we need to do with our employees as they get to the top of the curve, or even as they're approaching that, is say to them, okay, here you are. You're going to be in this place 6 months to a year before you, and I'm going to help you jump to a new career. So here's what I need you to do in the meantime. I need you to set the pace. I need you to train people and convey the corporate memory. And I need you to mentor the younger professionals. When you have high enders mentoring low enders, they're going to reach competency more quickly. And it also helps them kind of see things from a fresh angle. So that's one thing. Then now the second thing, and this is, I think, the most important and the most critical and the hardest, is now it's time to help them jump. And you do that by coming to their aid. And I'm going to give you a quick little acronym. Okay. Number one, you applaud what they've accomplished. At the beginning, at the low end of the curve, you said, here's what you need to do in order to get to the top of the curve. Now you want to say to them, you know what? Because you were on this curve, channeling Wicked just a little bit, you have accomplished these things. Our organization is better because of you, and the people around you are better because of what you've done. The second that you want to do, I, is to identify a new role. And number three, D, so AID, is deliver on your promise to help them find a new role. Now, let me give you a quick idea of what this can look like. Dan Shapiro, he started at LinkedIn in 2008 in operations. There were 600 people at the company. It grows and grows and grows. He does well. In 2010, he gets to jump to a new S-curve. He moves into sales. He's got 8 people reporting to him, a $40 million budget. By 2013, so 5 years later, he's at the top of the curve. He's one of 25 VPs, VP of sales, 1,000 people reporting to him, and a $1 billion business. He goes to Jeff Weiner, the CEO, and says, I want to be the CEO of a tech company. That's my dream. And Jeff Weiner says to him, if you want to be the CEO, you're in the wrong job because you can't get there from here. So Dan Shapiro, after a bout of frustration, he comes back and he says to Jeff Weiner and to his current boss, Jeff Gampson, okay, let's build product. I'm ready to jump to a new curve. Now, you need to understand that based on all of LinkedIn's data, people don't move from sales to product. People don't move from a VP to a role where you're a contributor and you have only 3 engineers reporting to you, but that's what he did. And so he says, half the time I'm in this individual contributor role, no guarantees, I'm terrible, but half the time I'm really, really good. He was at the bottom of the curve. Well, 3-4 years later, he's now at the top of the curve. He's the VP of LinkedIn's $2 billion business, where sales, which he used to have under him, reports to him as well as product. So this step back became a slingshot for Dan and for the business. And that's what you do with people at the top of the learning curve. You sub-optimize the presence, what's happening for you currently in order to optimize the future. You let people disrupt themselves because when they can disrupt themselves, then they allow you as an organization to be the disruptor rather than the disrupted.
And this is such a great lesson for all of us as individuals, and maybe especially for some who are earlier in their career, that this is a powerful and not necessarily a negative thing to change roles, maybe into something that isn't your first pick, you know, lower title. Maybe there's an adjustment in compensation, I don't know. And yet what you're doing is intentionally changing curves that are going to lead to something better. And I know that in a lot of large organizations, there's sort of an understanding there that we're going to move you around to different roles. A lot of times, of course, for high potentials, oh, you'll do 2 years in marketing, 2 years in sales, maybe 3 years in some areas to master the curve as they're developing their future leaders. But I think in small to mid-sized companies, we often don't think about moving around to get different experiences to get to that next level. That's pretty powerful. So Whitney, tell our listeners, like, how can we find out more about you, of course, and your new book, Build an A-Team?
Well, the first thing, I have an offer. So if you go to my website, to whitneyjohnson.com/diagnostic, you can find out where you are on your current learning curve and also find out where people on your team are on their learning curve and what you want to look for in terms of optimizing for learning and engagement and innovation and avoiding disruption is to have about 70% of your team in that sweet spot that we talked about. 15% at the low end, inexperienced, and 15% at the high end, who are masters getting ready to jump to that new S curve. So that's the way that people can find me. Obviously, my book is everywhere. Amazon, Barnes & Noble, CEO Read, and thank you for asking. But I hope you'll take the S curve locator and find out where you are and love to hear what you think and what you learn about yourself as you do.
Well, I know I'm personally going to take the S-curve locator. I love complementary diagnostics. Thanks for offering that to our audience. And we'll certainly put that link in the link to your book in the show notes and the articles. And Whitney, thanks again for coming on to the LeadX Leadership Show.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
LeadX family, before I go, I got to give you some straight talk. Now, there's about 10,000 of you listening to this podcast this week. And all 10,000 of you should be members of the online LeadX Academy. That's my company. That's my startup. That is the thing I'm most proud of in my career. These are on-demand video-based courses you can take on your phone, on your iPad, on your computer, watch or listen in your car, on the treadmill. We've got courses on management, leadership, communication, and more. And just diving into it, you don't understand how much good stuff is there. We have 8 different courses on productivity. For example, one course is how to cure procrastination. You know, how different would your life be if you could eliminate procrastination? I've got a lesson on how severe is your procrastination, another on the 4 procrastination styles, the 9-step procrastination cure, and even advanced strategies to cure procrastination. Now, let's take a whole different area, personal branding. We've got 8 different courses in that content domain. So if you're a consultant, a speaker, a writer, or you want to be one someday, start building your brand now. I've got one course on how to write viral articles. You know, people say I am everywhere because of my articles that go out on Forbes and Huffington Post and, I mean, literally dozens of places. How to write viral articles. There's a lesson on how to read the mind of your reader. I always read the mind of my reader before I start the article. Same with my books, by the way. How do you write the perfect headline? What is the perfect article structure? What do you need to know about search engine optimization as you write your article? By the way, do you know that I have the most popular article on Forbes of all time? I think it's got about 26 million views. I wrote that article knowing how to read the minds of readers, write the headline, write for SEO. They're not all 26 million views, but that's how I did it. Try the LeadX Academy at leadx.org for free for 3 days. No risk. If you don't like it, then no harm, no foul. But right now, because we're technically pre-launch, it's at a ridiculously low $7 a month for a subscription. That's for the annual subscription. This is pre-launch special. Does it sound like I'm doing an infomercial? I'm selling you Ginsu knives. Yes, I know, but I need to break through to you. There's 10,000 of you that haven't signed up yet. Now, this price, we are going out of pre-launch. It's going to double in about a month. It's going to double a month after that. And the reason why you want to lock in your annual plan now is you're getting all this new stuff for the same $7. We're launching Microsoft Office Training, a very cool 5-factor online personality assessment. And we're going to give you a chatbot powered by IBM Watson. Now, that's not coming till June, but you don't need to wait. It'll be a whole lot more expensive by June. So here's the takeaway. If you want to be a great boss, if you want to stand out and get ahead, visit leadx.org and just check out the free 3-day trial. And the final takeaway, leadership is influence. You influence when you take action and when you choose to be a bystander. It's just, which way are you going to be leading? Be mindful, be intentional. How will you lead today?